All right, we're building upon the book of Acts, chapter 27, verses 1 through 26, specifically verses 9 through 26, and the subject was tragedy. What is the obvious tragedy in this chapter, and in what verse is it found? Well, when you look at the book of Acts, you see the majority of the chapter dealt with a tragedy which was very obvious. And that is that there was a storm called the Euroclydon that challenged the voyage of the ship that Paul was traveling upon. And you find that in verses 14 and a few of the following. Okay? That's number one. And number two, what is the obscure tragedy in this chapter and in what verse is it found? The obscure tragedy is found in verse 11, and it encapsulates that the centurion wanted, he believed the master and the owner of the ship and some of the seamen, he valued their word over the words of Paul. Which tragedy was most important? The tragedy that was found in verse 11. Why? Because warnings come for a reason and for a purpose. And it's not something that we should take lightly or snuff at. Which tragedy could have been avoided altogether? And this points back to question number three. The turbulent and troublesome voyage could have been avoided. They would not have had to deal with the storm out on the sea while they were on the ship if they had only stayed up on the shore. What did Paul try to get those in authority to do? To postpone the trip. Why didn't the 276 seamen agree? Because Fairhaven's was not a comfortable place, an accommodating place for them to stay the winter. Where did they want to go? They wanted to go 40 miles up the coast to a place called Phoenix, which was a place that had more opportunities and they could have more fun while they were on a lockdown of sorts. What was the clear reason why the centurion, master, and owner ignored the advice of Paul? The clear reason that the centurion, the master, and the owner ignored the advice of Paul was because he was a prisoner. He was a prisoner. Do you see any resemblance with how prisoners were regarded then in comparison to today? So I ask you to define that. How are prisoners treated today? Are they respected? Are they valued? Are their words taken seriously? Okay, of course, that answer would be no. And describe it, you know, then versus now. And hopefully you had a good discussion behind it. If you answered number eight correctly, how did their view of prisoners, more specifically, Paul as a prisoner, affect how they listened to Paul's advice? Yeah, they just didn't pay him any attention. Who listens to a prisoner? You know, it says you are, even though Paul was not convicted nor condemned, he was traveling with those who had been convicted and condemned to die in the Colosseum in Rome. But he was numbered and named in that group. And so, yeah. Number 10, many times due to bureaucracy of the church, its brokers, power brokers that is, and its bylaws, the pastor preacher is looked upon as a prisoner to be disregarded than a preacher messenger to be regarded. In the absence of being advised by God through Paul, the preacher, who did the centurion take his advice from and then provide the verse? He took his advice from the master and the owner. And then that's in verse 11. And the more part who were of the 276 seamen in verse 12. This indicates that often it is easy to put too much confidence in the wrong person or the wrong people. Either one of those words would have been fine for number 11. Number 12, in every circumstance of life and in the church, people make decisions based on personal motives and not what God wills. What was the motivation of the owner and the master of the ship? Of course, they had cargo on there that needed to reach different places along their journey, and needing to get trade to the buyers meant they would have made money. So it was a financial decision for the owner and the master of the boat. What was the motivation of the 276 seamen on board? Their motivation was fun. They wouldn't have any fun in the small town of Fair Havens, but they wanted to go up the road 40 miles, up the coast rather, 40 miles to a place called Phoenix and enjoy being there for the winter. How did these motives differ from Paul's? Okay, well, while the owner and the master were prioritizing finances, and while the 276 seamen were prioritizing fun, Paul's motive was to do the Father's will. Okay. Which way had they planned to arrive in Italy? By ship? Is it possible to have too much confidence in your method of arriving at your next degree or level of success? Hopefully you had a good discussion with that. And the answer to that is yes, you can have too much confidence in your method of arriving, in your transportation. At what point did the 276 persons have a change of heart? They had a change of heart in verse 20. This is after the storm has gotten the best of them, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Okay, they had a change of heart, and hopefully you will not have to go through a change of heart in order to a storm to have a change of heart. Who stood and spoke when it seemed all hope that they would survive the storm was lost? Paul. What did he say? You find this in verse 11. It says, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it is told unto me. Okay. Who stood? I just told you that. Who told him to say it? God told him to say it. It had a profound impact. They were relieved. Point number three, Vivia, sometimes a person can have too much confidence in what they think is carrying the ship. Money, job, health. Discuss how these modes of transportation can be undependable and unreliable. Hopefully that was a good discussion. Since God can get you where he wants you to be without your share, where should your faith and trust lie? In God. If you need to repent for relying on your ship, share it with your group and repent in a moment of prayer. God bless you. Bye-bye.